Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And as we get going here, we want to lift up the prayer requests and praise items. I know many of us has been sick, many of us has fallen, many of us been hard to get back up, many of us had incidents in our vehicles or whatever the case may be. But I'm laughing because my wife did have that all within the week of itself. And I was right there with her falling as well. But you know, when you as old as I am, sometimes you forget where your feet's at and you slip and fall. But needless to say, I'm still standing for the Word of God, rightly divided. And we hope that things are doing well for you. A couple announcements to make. Let me turn this down a little bit. A couple announcements to make is the fact that if you want to help out with the ministry, if you know anybody in the area that's looking for a church, looking to study the Bible as dispensationalists, I know it might be strange to a lot of people's ears how we study the Bible, but this is the way God laid it out, dispensationally considered, and we need to acknowledge what God is doing, and therefore, as we build up the doctrine inside of us, it makes a difference on how we live, act, and so forth. So, you know, we live in a world that's really controlled by the God of this world, and the God of this world is a little g, and he is what's running the governments and all that. So don't put your faith in governments and man and that type of thing. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and by doing so, he saves you, he seals you, and he places you into his body, where he is the head. You're part of the body. He does your thinking for us, and we get the thinking and the knowledge and the understanding through his word. So we're thankful for that. Also, we do have a conference coming up in May. If everything goes well, we're still going on. It's at the Amish Door. The conference theme is Philemon verse 21, which says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing what thou wilt also do more than I say. And if you know Philemon, he and Onesimus, he was a slave, and Paul's encouraging Philemon to take him back and all. So that's a really good theme about having confidence in today and doing more in what Paul is asking him to do. So that's in May, Memorial Day weekend. It's at Amish Door. We do have a flyer on our website. We do have a flyer on our Dispensational Bible Church page on Facebook, and you can get all the information there. One note is the fact that this will probably be our last meeting there. In 2022, they had booked a wedding, and we're like, you know, what do we do? But we got a plan, and it looks very, very good using one of the state parks in Ohio. So as we get closer to May, we will let you know what you need to do for 2022. You're thinking, gosh, Ed, this is just 2021. Let me get through that a little bit. Well, if you know me, I'm always looking ahead and planning ahead. So keep that in thought. Keep our saints that has supported our ministry here. The ones that you know, just ones that we know that has issues, and all, just lift them up in the Word of God, because prayer is talking to God, and God says, "Let all things be known to Him," and in doing so, it gives us peace, and that's what a lot of us are looking for, is peace. You know, you look outside, even though it's daylight outside and all, It's still a dark world out there, and you know, whether it's political or religious, it can even get darker. There's some times that we've been through this before, guys. You know, nothing moves me, nothing shakes me from the doctrine that we teach and preach here. So if you get that inside of you, you can understand what's going on out there, and you can acknowledge it and say, okay, this is what I have to do. But it still don't stop you from enjoying yourself, okay? We're enjoying our families, enjoying our grandkids, enjoying our loved ones and all. So as we go through the study today, and I hope we understand how we're going through the Bible, we're using through the Bible in 7 hours, and also the Word of God in the King James Bible. This is just a touching some bases, if you will, as when we go into the fundamentals of dispensationalism, that you're going to understand we're going to work to all through the timeline in God's Word. So that's going to take a little time in doing so. With that being said, let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. As we think about the lesson of the day, and the but now that we live in, that we can understand what God is doing for us today and how we can understand some things that was happening in times past, but now in ages to come. And Lord, as we think about the loved ones and the ones that we're trying to reach with this message, that they be receptive and their hearts not hardened, and their ears and eyes are open to the Word of God, and receive it and believe it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be turning to Titus chapter 1. We're in lesson 15, it's through the Bible. And we kind of went through some things about the mutual faith, and we ended on the fact that Paul's ministry is meant, is the means whereby our ascended Lord from heaven's glory had made known to us the faith. Now, when Paul received the message from God, the Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't as if he was with the 12 on this earth. The Lord Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again. Then he, a year later, he come to Paul. Paul's persecuting the church, and he's creating havoc, and he struck Paul down. And Paul immediately said, Lord, who art thou? He knew who God was. But when it come to Lord Jesus Christ, he had threatening letters against that man, you know. So what Jesus Christ did through Paul, right now, Lord Jesus Christ is in royal exile. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's with his Father right now, and he's in exile, okay? That's why the world's dark out there. But once again, with the world being dark, who is the light of the world right now? Who's... not the world, but who's the light of Christ? Who is, you know, we think about, I always bring up the fact in Egypt when the 10 plagues came down, I think it was the second or third one, the darkness, gross darkness, thick darkness was across the land. But down in Goshen where Israel was, there was light. So you think about that little light in that dark woods out there, you could see it when it's so dark. So we as Bible believers today, we should be light in this dark world. And people would see, wow, you're different. You know, I want what you want, that type of thing. But we also know that Satan has ministers of light. You know, they're going to counterfeit that light and convince people, hey, this is right. This is what you need to do. But when it comes to faith, Titus chapter 1, and we're going to go through some verses naturally. And so Titus chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, had promised before the world began, but have in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now, how is it committed to? In due times manifested through his word through what? Preaching. Okay? It's not through circumstances. It's not through wind blowing. It's not through the sun. You know, people post sunsets, beautiful sunsets, and the red sky at night, sailors delight, red sky at morn, sailors be warned, sailors take warning. It's nothing like that, okay? It's through his word, and God cannot lie, okay? So, Romans chapter 1, it's through the faith. We have to have faith in what God told Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 1. Verse 11. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both you and me. That's the doctrine, that spiritual gift that God is... through Paul is given to the Romans, it's doctrine, Okay? It's the faith in that doctrine. Romans 16. Romans 16. Romans 16. Verse 25. Now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. So that's that faith. That's what God gave Paul to give to us. And we have faith in this word. We have faith in that doctrine. Now, that took care of the mutual faith thing. Now, this is now the reason the mystery was a mystery. Okay? Now, I've heard people say that the mystery was that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Is that true?
No.
No, it's not true. Okay? That's been foretold. Psalms 22, Psalms 2, Isaiah 53, Genesis 3:15, a promise of a redeemer. Now, how was God, way back in Genesis, how was he going to redeem mankind? Through sacrifices? Through do good works?
No.
Through keeping the law? No, it's always been by the death, burial, and resurrection. So, with that being said, that's not a mystery. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting with verse 6. Well, verse 1 says this, okay? 6 through 8 is where we're going, but verse 1 says this. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. That's a good thing, right? Could he have done that? Yes. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. You know, you're not. He was taught under Gamaliel. I pronounced that right, back in Acts chapter 5 and Acts 22, he was taught under that man, so he knew how to speak, he knew how to present himself, but he says that he did not come that way. I like that. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit of power. That's another good thing, isn't it? You know, my profession is a special commodities relocation engineer. That's a truck driver. And you might think, huh, how does that old truck driver know anything? Hey, the truck driver's pretty smart. We can solve the world's problems, okay? When you look at the world through a windshield, you can just have all things going through your mind and you can solve things. But when it comes to the Word of God, we let the Word of God, that the Spirit of the God works in us to make the decisions, right? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God.
Amen.
Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. That's the same as the wisdom of man. The wisdom of this world is going to tell you there is no God. The wisdom of this world is going to tell you you are the God. The wisdom of the world is going to tell you all kinds of things. Okay? They're going to tell you to discredit God's word. Put doubt in it. That's the tactic that Satan came to this earth in Genesis chapter 2. You had Adam and Eve in a garden. You had God and Satan in the garden. He had the other gods outside. And Satan looked at them, you can be like gods. You know, if somebody come up to you and said you can be like gods, that may entice you. And you're like, whoa, give me the wisdom and science. You know, science does this and science does man's wisdom. The greatest science book and the knowledge and the math and all this is right here in your hands. Okay? Read Job, how things got started, if you want to know how things got. But wisdom of this world, discredit that. Let me go on. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Think about that for a second. If the princes of this world had known, that's the princes of who God of this world is, Satan's, and all his, if they had known what this mystery program that we're getting ready to go through, but now period, that's where we're at, okay, because we've been through times past, we've been through the law, we've been through what a kingdom of heaven is at hand, we've been through the kingdom offer, now we're looking at the kingdom postponed that everybody wants to build. God's postponed that kingdom. If they have known what this mystery program had accomplished and is accomplishing, it don't seem like much out there, but you know, God always works with little groups, and you know, you got these 1,400 people in churches and internet ministries and stuff like that. That don't mean anything to God. We're talking about the faith, the mutual reason why God created this mystery, and if they had known that, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And you're like, oh, wow, where's that verse been? There's a reason why God kept this secret. It says before the world began, ordained, before God had the prophecy program, had Israel, had the earth, and had the governments and stuff. Before he had that, he had this in mind. He created a body. He didn't predestinate you and I into that body. We believe that. He puts us in that body. He had this time period right here ordained before the world to his glory. Okay? And he kept that secret. And we're going to look at some things. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. You should have this verse underlined. I'm sorry, but you should always, the wisdom of God in a mystery. Okay, not prophecy. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3, starting verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places, in whom?
Christ.
Your focus, this hath is a done deal. He's already blessed you. Okay? In heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath, there's that again, done did it, made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have now, okay, in Christ, not in ourself, not any works, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath, there it is again, abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That, why? What's made known? That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. This is the purpose. Ephesians chapter 3. This is this mystery program. You never found that in the prophecy program, that he's going to take to heaven and earth and make it in one. Okay? In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Okay? And then when it's all said and done, it's going to be heaven and earth. But in between that, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, its focus is on this earth. You know, they're going to pray to heaven and come to earth and that type of thing. So you got to really think about this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, starting with verse 7. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Paul's the grace giver through Jesus Christ. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things in by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our what?
Lord.
This is very, very important to know that he had this hidden in him, the mystery program, before the foundations of the world. But now it's made known. And it's what it is. The manifold wisdom of God is being displayed. And the issue of the manifold wisdom of God is being displayed through the body of Christ. Not through a bunch of hooly-doo stuff out there. Okay? It's what God is doing in the body of Christ, and he's making it known today. He did not make it known yesterday, per se, in the law program. This throws a monkey wrench in a lot of things. Go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel. Book right before Daniel. You want to see somebody boasting in something, look at this. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Now we boast in a lot of things in our flesh, okay? And when we boast in our flesh, if you're not very careful, you're going to lift your pride up and you're going to set you up for a failure, okay? Now there's not a one of us that love to be patted on the back when we do something good. You know, my wife likes to be lifted up every once in a while. She did a wonderful job on the walk-in closet yesterday. She even videotaped it, and she said before and after shots. I'm like, that's very nice. She even made me a shelf where I can put my clothes at now. That's exciting, okay? I patted her on back. Exciting. But look, Ezekiel chapter 28, starting with verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Ezekiel saying this, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thy heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, and I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, thou set thy heart as the heart of God. What's this guy doing? He's lifting himself up. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secrets that thou can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thy understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. But thou great wisdom and by thy traffic, keep that in mind right there, traffic, hast thou increased by thy riches and thy heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thy heart as the heart of what? God. Note especially verse 3. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Now, Daniel's a wise guy. Not, you know, a wise guy, but a very wise, knowledgeable, understanding young man, started this way, and by the time he got 80 some years old, he was in high places there. Okay, you find it very interesting, they're wiser than Daniel. Now Jesus Christ is very wise, isn't he?
Amen.
This is talking about Satan. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you really got the reason that boasting, okay, look at the manifesting and all. Now, the reason the body of Christ was necessary, you got that picture of who the Prince of Tyrus is, okay? Go to Isaiah chapter 14. Hold your finger there in Ezekiel and go a couple books back to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weakest the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend up into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of configuration in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like what? The Most High. Those five I wills, five in the Bible is like death. Okay? And what's he doing here? He's going to set himself above where? The earth. And God. He wants to be God. Okay? Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14. Listen, when you start to understand the God of this world and what he had in place since he fallen, you'll realize that the governments out here in this world are run by the God of this world. It's not God creators, okay? Even though he's got the ultimate plan, and he can, and we can put our, once we believe what God is doing, we make decisions out there. Some of them get stolen from you. But Genesis chapter 14, verse 19. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and what? Earth. Verse 22. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of what? Heaven and earth. Not heavens, but heaven and earth. That's God the Creator. Now, what did we see about Isaiah back over there?
He wants to be the possession.
He wants to sit. Now, I told you, just keep your hand in Ezekiel chapter 28 again. We left off of verse 6. We also talked about he was wiser than Daniel, this guy. Now, look at verse 19. Excuse me. Verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up lamentations against the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sun full of wisdom and perfect beauty. Thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God, every precious stone which was thou covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherubim that covered, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of the fire. Thou wast perfect in the ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitudes of the merchandise that have filled in the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, and I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before the kings, and that they may behold thee. And thou hast defiled the sanctuaries of the multitudes of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth to the sight of all of them that behold thee, and all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shall thou be any more. A lot is said there, isn't it? A lot. He's a king. It's perfect beauty. By the way, see all those stones in verse 13? Okay. Mm-hmm. In Exodus 28, I think there's 9 of them there. Israel has stones, and there's 12 of them. There's 3 that Satan don't have there. Very, very interesting study. But to think about this for a second. thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, was the king Tyrus himself in the garden of God? This is a picture who Satan is. And what did he do? He lifted himself up. Something else you need to think about right quick. He says, verse 16, by the multitudes of thy merchandise. I also talked about trafficking. Merchandises. They're making money off of some things out there. It wouldn't surprise me if human trafficking was going on there. Okay? Anything to make money that the man wants, to build himself up with pride, make him feel good in the flesh, it's going on here. And that's exactly what the world's out there for. You will talk to people, they will cut your throat for a dollar. And it may come a time that they may cut your throat to have a loaf of bread. Maybe weird, but not untrue, right? There's people all the time in this world doing that. But this guy's slick. This guy's lifted himself up. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Now, there's a lot of people talking about, you know, they study the Bible and the rapture. They've seen that the rapture does not take place before this man comes on the scene. That's an error, okay? We teach a pre-tribulation rapture. This is something that was not made known until Paul. That's why people just don't understand that. Okay? And we're taking out of here before that period. But there's a but the people that's going to be in this time period is going to be taking a lot of things going on. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Then shall he say unto them, also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, until everlasting fire prepared for the devils and his what? That's not you and I, the body of Christ, by the way. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, that's Jesus Christ, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through his blood of his cross, by him the reconcile to all things unto him, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in where?
Heaven.
Now, think about that for a second. There's a reason for the body of Christ we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay? Things in earth, things in heaven. Things visible, things invisible. Whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities and powers. Okay? You see that on earth, you're going to see it in heaven. Okay? That throne, that government structure started in the heavens, and the earth's supposed to mirror that up there, not the other way around. Okay? That's why you don't see anything up there right now, because it's not visible. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. The body of Christ is going to be in those positions up there. Was not made now. Part of the mystery program. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. It's all about what God did in Jesus Christ. that in a dispensation of fullness times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. This is a reason why the mystery program, guys. It's all about what he's doing in the heavenly places, because why? Who's there now? The prince of power of the air. Yeah. God of the world, Satan, is controlling the first and second heaven, okay? And he's convinced one-third of the angelic beings to follow him. Now, if he can convince one-third of the angelic beings to follow him, how easy is it for his ministers to convince you to follow them? Okay? Your mind can be tricked. Magicians?
Amusement.
Magicians? Mm-hmm. They trick you. Okay? They trick you doing tricks. They're not, what do you call them? Magical. Thank you. They use that term. But don't it amaze you? Amuse you? Yes, it does. And that's what Satan's doing with a sleight of hands. You don't get caught up in all that stuff, guys. You don't need to be thinking about that stuff. But now, that's where we're at right now. The reason why God created the mystery program is that right now, what he's doing, and we're in a but now. And the body of Christ is God's agency in the heavenly places. See, the body of Christ, and I know some of you know that term. You've heard that term, but you only find it through Paul's epistles. The body of Christ did not place Israel's program on this earth. Some of you have been told that. That's error.
Replace.
Okay, or replace, yeah. You know, or become them. Mm-hmm. You know, spiritual Israel. There's no such thing. The literal physical Israel. The operating system today is grace, not law. The salvation and blessings are provided to all people on an equal basis. There is no difference today between Jew and Gentile, bond free, male, female. Everybody's down here while Paul looks at you. And by the way, when Paul writes his epistles, I might be jumping ahead a little bit, but I want you to think about this. He don't write to lost people. Just remember that. He's writing to the body of Christ for instructions and doctrine, reproof, and correction. Okay? All right? And by doing that, he's not going to... You as a lost person would not understand what he's talking about if you're not saved. You may think the wisdom, oh yeah, I know more than Paul. No, you don't. And that's what gets a lot of these brothers out there in trouble. They go out trying to find something that Paul didn't teach and create something that they believe it's to be new, and they get in big trouble. Next thing you know, they'll be far removed, okay, to self-destruction, okay? God's purpose is to exalt Jesus Christ as head of the government in heavenly places through the instrument of the body of Christ. What did we study in the last lesson? How he was using his head of government on earth. It was through Israel. Okay, that's his vehicle on this earth, was through Israel. The vehicle in heavenly places is the body of Christ. Okay, that's where we're at right here. Now, Miles Stanford once said, God has one grand purpose, to glorify himself in Christ. This plan involves glory in two spheres, the earthly and the heavenly. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. He had two spheres in mind, heaven and earth. And like I said before, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the heaven slowly focuses gone, and it's all the earth. All the way over the focus of the earth until you get to Apostle Paul. And if you don't understand what Paul is doing in the distinct ministry between mystery and prophecy, and understand what God is doing in the heaven and what he's doing in the earth, you will not get this. And believe me, if I can get it, you can get it. Okay? It's just as simple as that. The simplicity of God's word is so simple that a sixth grade person can read God's word. Okay? That's why the King James Bible is sixth grade English. It ain't confusion. The and thous and ye and yous and all. It's not confusion. So the heaven and earth is very, very important. Now, let's move on a little bit. The form of sound words is very, very important. Okay? Words do mean something. I'm not talking about a political guy out there talking words. His words don't mean nothing when rubber meets the road. I think we've seen that over the years. Okay? And we put our trust in some people with sound words, or words, I should say, and guess what happens? Listen, I want my words to mean something. God's word, when God's word is spoken, there in Paul's epistles, from Paul's epistles, they're sound words, unmovable words. Okay? And Paul's epistles are set forth in a divinely arranged form of sound words, which are designed to provide godly edifying, which results in true spiritual establishment and maturity. That's why I was telling you before, once you understand that you're saved by the God, death, burial, and resurrection, He saves you, He places you in a body, He gives us some mail, that's what this is all about, where you can understand and grow from the Word of God and be a mature saint. Not one of these little kids tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You know, you get that knee-jerk reaction and you make decisions based on emotions and you don't do that. Now, you have done that and I have done that. But the consequences and the choices is usually not too good. For 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're looking at some mature establishment words that will help us in today, but now, that we need sound words, don't we? You know, we need to say, hey, I'll be there at 10 o'clock, not 11:30. Words mean something. Handshakes used to mean something. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, I thank God whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Wherein I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. There's an establishment there, okay? Started with mom, grandma, okay? There's many of us can relate to that. You know, we look at our mom, we look at our grandma, we look at our great-grandma. You know, like their statue and establishment, who they were, means a lot today. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to what? Life everlasting. There's an establishment there. There's a maturity there that you believe what Paul wrote for us today. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, and faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in what? In us, okay? The sound, the form of sound words. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you this spiritual gift. We read this earlier, didn't we? Spiritual gift, some spiritual gift. Maybe you didn't. Maybe that's what I was studying, thinking that you already did. See how this truck driver mind thinks? There was times when I'd be studying these Bibles and studying this scripture down, and I'd get home, and I'd think my wife and my kids was already where I was at, but they wasn't. I'm thinking, where was you at? I was going through this, but I was in my tractor, and they was at home. Anyway, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you in mutual faith, both you and me. That spiritual gift is what? Doctrine. Doctrine. Once again, you know what? Romans chapter 16:25. For him the power establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. Okay? That's very, very important to establish you. Now, the divine design procedure for the edification of the believer. There is a building going on. We're going to have a foundation. Then you're going to have walls. Then you're going to have a roof. Okay? It's going to be sound. You know, you look at some houses down on the coast sometime, and you look at how they're built. Some of them can withstand some heavy winds and rains and storms. They've got sound forms and foundation, and some of them just gone, aren't they? Blowed away. Where did I say to go? 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. The edification, the design. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. When I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other what? Doctrine. Neither give heed to fables, endless genealogies, which ministers questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. What is he doing here? He's edifying to build an edifice, a house, structure of sound doctrine. We're at in the inner man. Okay, that's where you want to build that. And if you don't get that sound doctrine, listen, I'm going to say this with love. There's many of you out there listening right now, sitting and been there, done that, got t-shirts and hats, empty your bank accounts, that type of thing. But think about this for a minute. You might have had a trust one time that Christ died and buried and rose again, okay? For your sins. He saved you. Then you started getting taught that you must do what Jesus did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How is that inner man, that Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that lifted Jesus Christ from the dead, the same Spirit that's part of the Godhead, how does that inner man grow and become a stable, mature saint? You usually don't.
Sound doctrine.
You have to have sound doctrine to do that. Not just doctrine. Doctrine is teachings. Moses taught it. John the Baptist taught it. Lord Jesus Christ, Peter and 12 taught it. That's doctrine. But is it sound doctrines of sound form words that gets inside of you, that enlightens you, like, whoa, this is what God is doing today? Now, you can force that and think God's doing that. You can make it, you know what I'm talking about? You can force a lot of things. You ever forced a square peg in a round hole? You can't do it unless you whittle it. Then 9 times out of 10, it's not that great. But look, Ephesians chapter 3. You got to have that inner man. You got to build these words that Paul's preaching in a but now in that inner man. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in where?
The inner man.
The inner man. We talked about that in man, the soul, the real you. Okay? That's where that inner man resides, in the heart down here, not up here, okay? Because like I said, you can have the inner man be saved and your spirit being taught other things, and it's not going to feed that man. You have to eat, people. You know, I see people all the time going out here with diets. And I always say, what's the first three letters in diet? Dot. You're going to die trying. And you're going to give up. But you got to eat. It may seem weird. You have to eat. You know, when I exercise at the box, you know, if I don't eat, and my wife will testify for me, sometime I come in, I'm hungry. I've got to eat. It's not to put weight back on. It's to provide you strength and protein and carbs and fats. You need it. You need sound words, sound doctrine from your Apostle Paul to get inside of you, to build you up, to make you strong where you won't get tossed to and fro. Hey, it's one thing to lift 350 pounds over your head, but it's another thing to stand with a 2-pound book in your hand and not be moved. Okay? You're not going to move us from this doctrine. Many has tried, haven't they? They really have tried. Acts chapter 20. Get ready to close here just a few minutes. We'll get through this one. Acts 20. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. To do what with you? Build you up. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 19, my little children, who I am travailed, you in birth again, until Christ be formed in what? Yes. You. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. What's he do? Let the word of Christ dwell in what?
You.
With all wisdom. Okay? Christ dwell in you, this form of sound words. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see what's going on? The sound words get inside of you. This is what you need, okay? You don't need read books about the books about the books. You get in the book, you get in the right mail for you and I, Romans through Philemon, that's where we're at in our, through the Bible, and we'll pick up next week about the edification structure is clearly set forth in Romans chapter 16. Go there right quick. Romans chapter 16. We're not going to break this down, but I want you to see it, and I want you to think about what we're going to do next lesson. Romans 16. My wife and son used to sing this to remember it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, now to verse 25. Now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret before the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You got the gospel, you got the mystery, and the scriptures of the prophets. So you think about those three things right there, and we'll pick up this here next lesson. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, thank you for tuning in. If you want to help donate to the ministry, we do have a donate button on our website at www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. Probably got a donate button on our Facebook page. If you want to write us, you can at P.O. Box 592 in Cambridge, Ohio, 43725. If you want to text me, you can text me or email us just to see how you're doing. And I hope you're enjoying these lessons as we work through the Word of God, rightly divided. And it's a must, a key to understanding what God is doing today. Also, once again, go on our website for updates on our conference in May. And once again, if you know anybody in the Cambridge, Southeast Ohio areas where we're at, not far from West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and that type of thing, if you know anybody who's looking for a Right Division Dispensational Church, let us know. We would love for them to come and join us. And just remember that if you never trusted Christ Jesus for your salvation, it's as simple as this. Now, what God did through Christ Jesus is not simple. I'm not saying that. But once you acknowledge that you're a sinner and you need to be saved, Christ died, was buried, and rose again. You trust, you put your faith into that, and He saves you.
Amen.
Okay? And He washes you, He cleanses you, He circumcises you, He baptizes you, He does all of it. He does it. And He does seal you until the day He takes us out of here. Okay? Now, some of us may not feel like we're saved. Okay? That's the flesh. That's the battle. Okay? But once you're saved, the first five chapters of Romans, very simple, it talks about justification. And do you know once you... Once Paul gives that simplicity of justification in there, he never brings that back up again. You realize that? And in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, we're going to go through some of these things. It's about sanctification and glorification, how we set ourselves apart from this world. And then we look at the fact that we're taken out of here. Okay? That's the ultimate salvation right there when we're taking about, and many of us waiting on that day. Is that going to be a glorious day? Once again, until this time next week, may God continue to bless you in all things. Thank you.